This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on October 6th, 2015, episode 38. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, changelogs, developments, strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. My new Twitter handle is at Nicholas M. Craig, Brian. I've graduated from my second grade Twitter there. Brian Aldridge.
So is that M for Manly? Nicholas Manly Craig?
Yes, Nicholas Manly Craig is my Twitter handle. Okay. Hey, Brian, what's going on?
Not too much. If you want to find me on the internet, you can go to, first of all, biteoftech.com. I did not get that article it posted. I swear I'll post a new article soon.
Yeah, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. And then also, I'll keep pushing Google Plus, even though you make fun of me. So google.com/+ Brian Aldridge. And yeah, of course, infectionpodcast.com. That's our website. On there, I'm going to keep pushing our Steam group that we've been announcing before every show. So that's a good way, if you forget when the live show starts, or if you're listening to the podcast after the fact and you are like, oh, I missed it this week, get to be on our Steam group, and then you'll get a notification right when it starts. And also you can see when we're playing games, so you can join us.
It's like a really crappy mailing list. Like you're not really going to get any use out of it. Now, Brian, we have a special guest this evening. We plugged him last week. He's here, the man, the myth, the legend, Craig Harp, also known as Manpons, with some interesting apparel. What's going on, Manpons?
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good. You want to introduce yourself to any of our... I mean, I don't know how people could know about you after the H1Z1 Invitational, but if they don't, who are you?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Manpons, and I am a professional H1Z1 streamer, connoisseur, entrepreneur. And you can check me out at twitch.tv/manpons. You can also follow me at manpons on Twitter. So thank you.
Now, I'm sorry, you're an H1Z1 entrepreneur?
Yes, I am.
Can you define that?
I thread shirts and then I sell the bandages to people at a higher price.
At a higher price on the marketplace.
Absolutely.
So you participated...
It's a black market.
Black market, of course. You participated in the H1Z1 Invitational, and we covered that last week. What was... we could only speculate on what we saw from the Twitch channel, the Twitch live stream. What was it like actually being at the H1Z1 Invitational and taking part in it?
Well, the first thing is that people were going nuts the entire time. And so the moment that Soda Poppin died, which happened, you know, the very first thing, people lost their mind. Like, you couldn't hear anything else but screaming and chanting and Soda Poppin saying no. And then, you know, of course, other people died as well. What sucks about the Invitational is that, unfortunately, they didn't catch my kill on Omni Skills, which was really sick. And I can talk about that if you want me to later on or whatever. But just like the audience, like, it was really crazy of just how many people was there specifically for that. And you could actually hear upstairs when people were stomping their feet, you could hear the sound the entire time. Like, people were going nuts.
Really? So
yeah,
what
it was shaking.
Now, were you guys mic'd up? Could you guys hear each other at all, or was it
no?
Just so you're just basically hearing background noise and the game?
Yeah, we had Krakens on. I'm pretty sure it was the Razer Krakens. We had those on. We couldn't hear anything other than the people yelling and then the in-game sounds. So
now, you're a big BR streamer. How was there... Because we talked last week about... It felt like the gas wasn't doing as much damage in during the Invitational that it was, you know, in regulation... on the live servers. Did you notice any difference being such a big BR player between live gameplay and what they had set up here at the Invitational?
No, there was no difference. The last patch that they updated before the Invitational was the same exact patch that we played on.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've seen a lot of gas camping. You've seen, like, Omni Skills to bring him back up again. You know, he does that every single game, so he's used to it. So, like, what it would appear to be hurting him... And what would, like, you know, for most players that don't know the timings, just, you know, like that, you know, he does know that. So, I mean, he was running around with 100% health the entire time, even in the later stages of the game.
So we saw you get killed. I don't know if it was the first game or the second game in it was in the bathroom in one of the residential bathroom. Houses. What happened there?
So this is actually a bug happened. I wasn't going to complain about it. Yeah,
I suspected something like this would come up.
Not even going to, you know, like sugarcoat it or whatever. So the very first death that I had, the second death was my own fault. You know, I had a crappy spawn. I landed at Bubba's. I went into a building, picked up a backpack. There was literally no gum inside Bates Motel in Bubba's. So I ran out, and the moment that I ran out, immediately got mowed down with an AR. But in the first game, so I had just killed Omni, drove over just south of Darkmouth, and there's this house at the end of the road. I pulled my car up there, went into the bathroom, and I seen that there was an AK on the ground, but I had a Magnum. So I was trying to put the Magnum into my inventory. And when I did that, I had my inventory completely pulled up, and then I hear pitter-patter, one step, two step was like all I heard, and then there was a dude standing in the doorway with a shotgun and shot me. So I didn't hear his footsteps coming from outside, inside the house or anything, so I literally had no reaction time whatsoever. By the time that I hit tab, which, you know, you guys play the game a lot or whatever, and anybody that experiences it as well, when you hit tab, there's like this little like half second delay as well. So I did that, and there was literally just no chance for me at all. And he went at me with a shotgun, so, you know, good for him.
Now, I don't remember, was that, because honestly, the camera work wasn't superb. Literally just caught like a blurb of what happened in that room. Was the bathroom door shut and you didn't hear that?
No, open? The bathroom door was open. Mm-hmm. And so I was expecting to be able to hear any footsteps at all. Because, yeah, like, you know, when I'm playing at home, I can hear footsteps of people walking outside into the door, like past the door, and then up, you know, to where I'm at. So I left the doors open because I'm used to doing that because I sound whore all the time. And so at that time, there are just no footsteps until he was literally like two steps to the door and then shot.
Now, you mentioned crowd noise. Do you think that may have had something to do with it?
No. No, not at all. Like, I mean, I could sit there at the time. The crowd wasn't being super loud. So it was just nothing and then step, step, boom, dead.
All right. So now the audio that you got back in the video, because they, if for the people don't know, they sent back, I guess, audio and video of your gameplay with you when you went home, correct?
Yeah.
So does that have your, is it just in-game sound, or is it actually your reactions and you saying things? Was that caught on the recording?
No, none of the, like, the mics weren't picking up anything at all. The mics were completely disabled. All we had was just in-game sound, like, okay, on the video and stuff.
Now, did you go back and listen to your or watch your own video, and could you hear the footsteps in that recording, or were they? Have you even looked at that yet?
No, I asked, and it was the same. Hmm. I got the same response that they didn't hear it either. So, I mean, it's whatever, dude.
Now, do you think the person just had their shoes off? I mean, there is a difference, but you still will usually hear a slight pitter-patter even with the player's shoes off.
Yeah, no, I think he had boots on at the time. Because the person that killed me was Mo, and he doesn't really play the game.
Well, that sucks.
So, other than that, what... how else was the experience at the Invitational and at TwitchCon?
Actually, I have a funny story for you guys. So during the qualifier, the people that were, you know, a part of the Invitational, we could play the day before when they were doing those like round robin instances or whatever. And I got to play at 2:30 in the afternoon. And when I'm doing that, the person that was there, they ran across, or like they ran into my car and then took off. So I felt disrespected by that, and I was like, you know what? I'm already qualified. I don't have anything to prove, so I'm going to chase this guy down like I normally do. So I'm going to play it like I regularly play. I chase this guy down for like 3 to 5 minutes. He finally gets up to the hill. I light his car up. He ends up running into a tree. He gets out and tries to run for his life. We have a battle with mollies, and then I convinced the guy that I didn't have any more. I only tossed 3 at him, and he kept juking, so he was a pretty good player. And, like, I throw the final one, And then I switched to my shotgun. So at this point, he thought he had Molly advantage over me, and he stood still. I went behind the tree, pulled out the Molly, and then tossed it at him and burned him out. And so my last words as well, which the crowd was sitting right behind me, I said, "Good night, sweet prince." And then the dude dies and says he burned to death. And then I run over to his body and I do that like slap, you know, thing right there. And the crowd went nuts. Like everybody was like, "Oh my God, the disrespect," and was talking so much trash and everything. And he actually got up, walked away, like he stormed away, and then immediately said, "That was Manpons that killed me, wasn't it? I know that was Manpons that killed me." So that was definitely one of the better moments that happened.
Now, you said something there that was really interesting. You mentioned that you played that one pre-qualifier game like you would normally play. How different was your play style, and what did you do differently, you know, once the actual two H1Z1 Invitational games started?
Okay, so in the second game, I had a really bad spawn. I don't know if you guys have ever had it before, but when you spawn over the mountain that's just like, that's west of Cranberry and north of the lake or whatever, just a little bit.
Yeah.
So if I went to Cranberry, the lake, or if I went north to essentially what we call Camp Manpons, which was Murder Town, or anywhere else, or Lone Pine, I would have arrived late. So I was like, hopefully there's only 60 people playing. Nobody's going to go to Bubba's, right? So I go to Bubba's and I land there and then just instantly die. Well, the first one, I got a normal spawn and I had in my mind the plan that I typically do, which is going down to Olon because it's the closest place that nobody really goes to, and then loot that up. I have a specific route that I take in Olon as well. And that's when I got to the house and I used the truck that spawns on the west side at the 2-story stone brick. And I used that as bait. And so I went up to the second floor, which you guys could see it on the stream. They actually hover over my character for a few moments. And I'm standing in that bedroom with the door to the balcony wide open. And I waited until the person came up, which I had no idea who it was. And of course, Omni Skills rolls up, sees the truck, and I know instantly people want a vehicle. So he jumps in the car. I jump out on the balcony and one-tap him instantly with the AR. So I set up the trap, man.
So did you say for the most part then, it pretty similar play style? Because it seemed like a lot of streamers that I'd watched previously, they played very conservatively come that second game. It wasn't the typical, in a run, do crazy, I have to be an entertainer kind of gameplay.
I looked at it as, you know, which everybody kept asking me the day before or whatever. They were like, "Manpons, what's your plan?" And I would always tell everybody, I would just bold-faced lie, "I'm going to go to Pleasant Valley. I'm going to spawn in. I'm going to loot as much as I can. I'm going to kill everyone around me. And then I'm going to go to the end." And obviously that's not the case. I had a completely different idea the entire time. And it worked out to an extent. But I feel like if at the time, because I was super looted, had I not died in the first game, I felt very confident about everything. So, you know, I think it would have worked out in my favor.
Yeah.
So you had talked about these qualifiers that some of the players were able to come in after the fact at the TwitchCon. How were you approached? Like, what determined that you were going to be? Did Daybreak come and ask you? Is it something you applied for? Or what's the process of getting asked to be in this Invitational?
So the time that I actually got invited, I found out from ARK like the day before that essentially what they're going to be doing, is taking and inviting, you know, like they still have one person or one slot left open. So, ARK told me that he was really fighting for me to get that final position. Of course, they chose Omni, which I was really happy about. I was ecstatic for him and everything. And then later on, that same day is when I got partnered with Twitch. And so he ends up at the very end of the stream. I had like maybe a minute left of the song that I play at the very end. And he was like, "Check your email." I look at it and they tell me that I've been invited. So at that point, it was like fundraise city. I had to get the money to go there because at the time I didn't have any money whatsoever. So thank you to my chat and the people that are watching right now that support me, because without them, I definitely would not have had that experience.
So what is included in, so they asked you to come, what did Daybreak provide? You know, what does Twitch provide? And how much, as you said, you had to come up with some funding. Mm-hmm. What did you have to provide as far as getting there and staying there and competing?
As a streamer, the thing that I had to provide from my chat was literally every single fund to get there. I didn't have to pay for TwitchCon because I was a partnered streamer. I got my badge and everything. Outside of that, everything was on me.
So that's, I mean, that's very cool. Your viewers, I mean, that shows how much they support you in this and that believe in you, because it's, as you know, it's not easy to come in here and get people to support you in that way.
So yeah, I'm sorry. Did you say that you were partnered from Twitch and got your H1Z1 invite in the same day?
Yes.
I mean, that's like
pretty good.
Was there anything else that exciting that happened that day? Because I mean, that you're going for the trifecta there. You really can't get much better than that.
Lots of donations, you know, on that day as well. It was a celebratory, just like crazy stream. I cried, you know, like it's. It's one of those things, man. It was real feel good. It just felt like, honestly, ever since I got partnered, I have just been on a roller coaster. And that's all I can say is like everything has been nothing but happiness. And it's been crazy, dude. It feels like it's a dream.
Now, a little background on you. How long have you been streaming? When did you start? And, you know, give us a little background on that.
Okay, so I originally started streaming back in 2013. And I streamed for a little bit. I was more of a variety streamer. And everything was good, but just mentally, like, I wasn't ready. I had kind of like a chip on my shoulder because, you know, certain people got partnered and stuff, and I didn't, even though I was pulling, like, equal numbers and stuff. So I left Twitch and I went to Hitbox, and it was a very similar case. I actually won $1,000 through a Minecraft contest and stuff. And so, like, towards the end of 2013, that's where I was playing or streaming. And, I ended up leaving there because I wanted to focus on some other stuff. And then I decided in February, actually February 17th, was my startup date on my Manpons account. And so ever since then, dude, it's just been a little over, like, what, 8 months now? Or a little under 8 months? And here I am.
So you went from literally, like, a fresh Twitch account to fully partnered in 8 months.
Yeah,
that's pretty astonishing when you look at the amount of people that are streaming on Twitch and all of the competition in the field. Congratulations.
Thank you. I do appreciate
it. How much time do you feel like you put in? Is this like some, I've seen some streamers where they'll put in like 8 hours a day. What kind of time are you putting in towards your streams?
It just depends, really, because my ISP's been kind of like just crap, honestly. So I used to stream at night and I had to switch over to day streams. And, you know, it's just kind of hit and miss and stuff, but I try to do anywhere between like 7 to 8 hours a day. Some days I'll be right at around the 6 hour mark. And if, you know, the chat's not really feeling it or whatever, then, you know, I'll just go ahead and do whatever I need to do.
Now, go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
So someone in chat's asking us to ask about Molly Pons.
So is this
an inside joke? That
No, it's not. That's my sister who's currently doing mission work in Afghanistan. I can show you guys a picture of her if you want. Here you go. Actually, you can pull that up on the stream if you want. Oh, man. I knew somebody was going to ask this, man. So that's my sister that has been on my stream one time. We have an uncanny resemblance, if you can't tell.
Awesome. So we're going to get into final thoughts or final notes on the H1Z1 Invitational before we get into our updates for the game this week.
I mean, honestly, every single person that I met that was a part of the H1Z1 community was absolutely phenomenal. Everybody's humble. Everyone's down to earth. Everyone's super nice. Honestly, like, the H1Z1 community is the best community that I think I have ever experienced as far as people go. you know, there's the League of Legends, you know, Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, and that has a lot of toxic people with it. And while, you know, there are people that just play the game and are super toxic, the ones that come to chat and hang out and actually, you know, consistently show up, not only in my chat, but, you know, whether it be C's, OP, Grimms, Pug, you know, Steve Alive, Linden, whoever it may be, they're always consistently nice, and they don't show love for just one person. They literally will have multiple streams pulled up and watching all of them. So it's incredible. We're experiencing a very special community.
Yeah, and that's the one thing is, I think because of the whole, you know, the Daybreak and wanting the streamers to stream the game and the Reddit culture and everything, it's a, while, like you said, there are some toxic people for sure, for the most part, it's a very, like, close, tight niche group of people, and I keep saying this every week, everybody wants this game to succeed. Nobody has invested their the last, you know, 9-10 months into this game to watch it fail. Everybody right. wants success with this game.
Absolutely.
Brian, anything else on that?
No, I'm pretty pretty impressed, man. 8 months, 9 months, and getting partnered, that's pretty impressive. So did you find, like, going into it, other than yourself, did you have, oh, here's the person I think that's going to, did you have a favorite going into, that's my final thought. Did you have a favorite going into this?
Into streaming or into the Invitational?
Going into the Invitational. Did you, because I had one person that I said, I think this person's probably going to win. Did you have your favorite or the person you expected?
I had four people that I knew was going to do incredibly well. One was a very huge sleeper pick, and I've rated her several times, and that is Julia TV. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people watch her, but they really should. She's a very humble person. She's super nice. I expected her to do very well because she consistently makes it into, like, top 20 pretty much any game that she plays. It doesn't matter if she goes all the way with a pistol. She will find a way, and then she'll end up with an AR, and then the next thing you know, she'll make it to second or first. The other one, I knew Grimms was going to win one. The way that he's been playing, and I told him several times beforehand, I was like, don't act like you don't know that you're not going to win, because you are. Like, absolutely. The way that he's played over the past, like, couple of weeks into the past month, really, has just been spot on. And his shot has been incredible. The guy plays 10 to 12 hours a day on stream. So, you know, you have to think about how much time he's invested in that as well. And so I knew that that was going to happen. I knew OP was going to get really high, but I didn't know if he would place them both. And then last but certainly not least, I knew that C's was going to do well because he's just got that survival mentality to him in general when it comes to playing BRs.
There you go.
Now, I called Grimms early on just because I was actually watching C's stream, and he you know, said, everybody go check out this streamer. So I went and watched him a couple months ago, and just his play style. And as you said, you just watch him, like, he's just got instincts that you would not believe in this game. And so that, I think it was 3 weeks before the Invitational, that was who I called out. And so I got to rub it in some people's faces.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Craig, thank you for stopping by. We are going to get in some news now, to news stuff for H1Z1. You're more than welcome to stay if you'd like.
And make sure all of our viewers subscribe to Man Puns.
Yeah, so, quick plug for all your stuff. You said you got a Teespring campaign today. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we actually just got the Teespring campaign officially done. I can post that up in your chat if you want to.
Yeah, go for it.
It's nothing that absolutely has to be done by any means. But we just got that. I just got partnered. Actually, the 9th or the 8th will be my month celebration, which I've got some stuff planned for that. Hopefully doing some H1Z1 giveaways. And yeah, so, like, if you guys like me as who I am, because what you see is what you get, feel free to follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitch. I play every single day, typically around 10 a.m. until whenever. And then, yeah, just feel free to stop by.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your experience with the H1Z1 Invitational. Real quick before before we wrap this segment up here, was there any hint from any of the staff that this was going to be like a multi-year thing, because the way that this was branded as the H1Z1 Invitational 2015 just struck me like, like, hello, we're going to have something like this at TwitchCon next year.
It's very, it seems so much like they're going to push it, you know, and as long as the game is still thriving and everything, I think that they'll do it. Honestly, I would be surprised if they only did two games because of how much people wanted it more. Like, I was reading the chat afterwards. There's this app that you can get for Google Chrome that's called ReChat, and people were sitting there talking about how boring other things were compared to it, and they really wanted to see it. And I know that Ark and other people have talked about how they're wanting to use the leaderboards for, like, seasons and stuff. So I really think that they're trying to push this towards a competitive-type scene, but I don't really know if it's going to go that far. But I would definitely see it again in the future, if not them doing some online stuff with it, too.
Yeah, definitely. Alrighty, so we are going to hop into the news. Like I said, you're more than welcome to stay. But, Brian, you posted an interesting note in here about the survival update. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, actually. So this was put out 6 days ago.
Okay.
And they've done a stream, and we'll be talking a little bit about it for the new map that I know is not going to become in the next couple weeks. But they are going to be pushing out some new content before that. With the new medical facility, they've got the new female zombie we've been hearing about. You know, we've shown some pictures of those, and then the new ATV. So these are things that are going to be coming out pretty soon, and then a new crate with unique items, which we'll actually be covering a little bit later as well, and then adjustments to the weapons and body armor. So they're looking at coming out here. It sounds like in the next. Probably next patch is what I keep hearing, at least some of it. I know they're trying to prep it. Perhaps not all of it be ready, but I think they're going to actually have the medical facility in this next patch.
Yeah, now we had a very busy week. There were two dev streams this week, one on the official H1Z1 channel, one on, I don't remember whose channel it was on, but it was just one of the other developers. And it was a lot of, like, hardcore devy stuff. Brian, do you watch those streams? What were your impressions?
Yeah, I watched part of, so the first one I watched was about the map, the new map, and going and it kind of explaining how they came up with the terrain. They're going to have kind of like with Minecraft, different biomes is what they call them. And so that's going to be different, like the desert, maybe more forest. Just the different type of landscapes that you would expect to see across this map. They generate all these beforehand. And so he was going through and just showing some of the different terrain that on stream. He was actually going through and he made a lake.
Yeah.
You know, what, just to show, you know, here's how we make it. And he was putting a lake in the middle of top left of the map. One thing that's going to be a big difference in this new map is the fact that they are taking out the large mountain that we all know in the middle.
Now, this is quite concerning. That mountain is, at least for BR, like, think about that. If that mountain wasn't there for BR, BR would be a very different game. Like, sometimes you have to make and you're talking about, like, the mountain with the radio tower, correct?
Yes.
That mountain is, like, you have to decide, am I going to go north or am I going to go south? And there's a chance if you go south and you get caught off guard, you're not getting back north and you're going to die from the gas. That they're going to have to do something interesting. There needs to be something like that.
It's going to change the play style somewhat, but their big thing with this new map is I know a lot of people are upset that they said they're not going to be making, at least not right now, the map bigger, but they said they're going to make the map better. They want to make it so that the real estate that they do have has a better use. There's not so much dead space. There's not so much unplayable, because you would kind of consider that mountain unplayable terrain, correct?
It's unplayable terrain, but it's to very, a point. I mean, but it's very useful. It's unbelievably useful. If that was just flat land, I mean, it wouldn't matter if you fell on the south or the north side of that mountain. I mean, that can be a kiss of death, depending on where you play.
But it really separates the map.
Yes.
I mean, for us as a clan, we would be either to the south of the map or we'd be to the very northwest of the map. You know, we would pick an area and that mountain would really separate the map to where you didn't really bother crossing over just because it was time consuming unless you're driving around it. And so I think with this, it's going to make it so that now one big change before I go into that, they are going to make it so that everything is an equal distance from one another. So they're going to have it to where there's kind of a central area, and then some of these other areas you'd want to travel to are equal distances. So it's not like I'm never going to go up to Ranchito Taquito because it's such a long trip up there and it's not worth going up there. They're going to make it to where, all right, whether I go to Rancho or if I'm going to go to Cranberry, if you're on that main town, they're all about the equal distance. So they're kind of evening out the map, but then they're going to make it to where there's a lot more between those places.
Yeah, which, I mean, as we've seen right now, it's a lot of running with not much being there. Now, the map, Brian, it was like literally one of the first things asked. The dev was like, hey, or somebody asked in chat, when is this map coming out? You know, we've all been wondering. And, you know, to ad lib his answer, it's not coming out this year, which we didn't expect it to come out this year.
There's only 2 months left in this year. Yeah, so saying it's not going to be this year is becoming less and less of a frustrating thought because it's coming up on being over.
Yeah, exactly. So, but he thinks early middle of next year, I believe, is something like he said. It was a long video and I watched the whole thing. I don't remember his exact words. Cause he said
no less than 4 to 6 weeks, I think is what he
said. Yeah. And he was saying, and he was kind of visualizing like, hey, this is how it looks. Like, you know, we plan stuff, we put it out and say it's going to take this long to do, but maybe it takes, you know, less time and then we, you know, do more stuff quicker, or maybe it takes longer than we thought and then it pushes the whole process back. So it's kind of this, he said, I think his exact words may have been, it's like a sliding date. And pretty much as stuff, if something they get to something and they say, oh shit, you know, like this is taking, we projected this to take 2 weeks and it's taking 4.5, you know, they slide that date, weeks or two. So, people in chat are saying the beginning of Q2 2016, which isn't far off from what we thought. It's an entire map redo. This is not like adding military bases to the map.
Knowing the player base and the Reddit culture that you were discussing, it's very dangerous for them to put it out too early, where people are going to sit there and complain saying this thing's undone, there's not enough to do, you know, and then 2 weeks into it, we're going to be complaining that, you know, what about all this dead space? So it would be safer for them to sit and make sure that they get a lot of that content, the stuff that makes it feel full, just put the time into it, you know, take the 4 months, 3 months, whatever you're going to do and make sure that you put out that initial map because people have been asking, you know, what's going to bring back that survival player base. And this is the type of thing that will bring back that player base. I mean, if they come in and say, man, this map is so much better, it's so much more fun. And between now and then they fix like the base building system, you know, whatever those things that we've talked about, this would be an excellent time for them to say, all right, here's a fresh start.
It's literally going to be like them. It's going to be like them redoing the entire game, like a new map and like new systems all rolled out. It's going to be like, oh, hey, wow, what's this game H1Z1 that you're talking about? This is a totally brand new game. And I feel like this may be like an H1Z1 2.0. And that's kind of how it should be placed because,
I think he referred to it H1Z2. Because this is zone 2 and someone was asking in chat, this is going to replace the current map. This is not going to be an additional map. This is a totally new map that resembles the previous map, but it's been redone just to make it feel better.
Now,
because some parts just don't feel like anything.
Yeah. Now, right, nobody can argue the bad press with H1Z1. And press may not be the right word, but there are a lot of people that played this game very early on, like maybe 6 or 7 months ago now, and they had bad experiences. They didn't like the game, and they are very, very turned off at this moment to the game. So this game literally needs a 2.0, like, you know, slam PR, get all these streamers streaming the game again, and get players that purchased this game day one that were totally turned off and didn't stick with it, getting them back to this game. Because at the end of the day, they've got over 1 million sales. And now, they need to get those people playing.
All right, in chat, he brings up that he thinks that they should have, or she thinks that they should have a new map So a map for BR and a map for survival.
I agree.
I think that maybe what they could do is not just have a map for survive or for BR, but have it to where, as we've talked about before, here's a section that you're gonna, this BR is going to land in this, you know, a smaller area. Yes. And then you could add additional maps that are specific for BRs, just that are random chance that you're going to end up spawning. You know, that's going to be the map that's used for that BR game.
Yeah, I mean, let's say you have
I think that'd be a lot better use of resources.
Let's say you have a mega city come this Zone 2 map. You know, why couldn't you have like a 30 or 40 man BR just in that mega city, right? The gas literally starts around that city. That would be like the thing. Like, wasn't the hardcore BR when they first launched, didn't everybody spawn in one spot? Like, everybody dropped from the same point or whatever?
Yeah, the spot in the sky that they came from initially was one place.
Yeah, it would be, essentially, it wouldn't be like that, but it would be, you know, some type of circle around that area, and it would be, all right, you have, you know, you will spawn somewhere in this circle, and you can't go out. The gas is out there, and you will die. So there definitely needs to be...
That would change the feel, because if you have it to where the gas is pretty close around that city initially, it's going to get kind of that urban type of combat that we don't really see right now.
Yes, exactly. Using cities, using dumpsters, using windows. I mean, Brian, we played a few five-man BRs this week where we had some city combat, and it was a lot of fun. The city combat is awesome.
But you have to get it to where there's actually people in those regions. I mean, it's hard to get unless you land there initially and you have that quick little combat. It's not like people are working in from the edges. Like, if you could get on that type of a game, you wouldn't even have to have it be parachute scene. You could have it like it's five-man groups. You could have them start in different parts of the city, you know, have set spawn points. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do.
Exactly. And that's I still think even with the five-man BRs, the map is too small. Yeah. Or the map, I'm sorry, the map is too big. There's just way too many times where unless you're going and looking for confrontation, you're not going to find it most times. Yeah. You know, 6 or 7 times out of 10. If you're not
we were going, and like this week, it seemed like we just kept on going to places like PV.
Yeah, and
like we were landing right in the thick of it, and that was a lot of fun. But you're not always going to last that long. I mean,
even that, Brian. I feel like I feel like I say this every week. I had this was the greatest H1Z1 I've ever played, but I feel like I had a lot of fun just going into a city and maybe getting killed and getting 15th place, but like shooting at people, like, wow, there's other players to kill here. Like, this is fascinating. I feel like I had more fun. We played, what day was that? Was that Sunday that we played? We did awful. We did absolutely terrible. We put like 5 games, and the highest we came in was like 9th. But we had fun every single time. Like, there was not a time where it was like, oh man, this game sucks. Every time there was combat, like, you know, groups of 3 or 4 or 5 that were trying to kill us, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and we were kind of looking for that confrontation. Like, we could have easily.
That was the fun part, is we were sitting there getting that combat, but we weren't expecting to make it to number one. It's like there's two totally different types of strategy at the moment. Of either you're going to try to go for first place, or you're going to try to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, exactly. And in those cases, we had good players, and it was just kind of like, eh, whatever. It's like, not all of us have won BRs plenty of times. It's not some new experience. But if you are a BR player that constantly comes in first in a five-man, while that may be fun, if you just kind of stay away from groups and really don't kill anybody until the end, I'd recommend trying that play style that we did, because it was definitely a lot of fun. I would like to do that again for sure. I played the game a lot this week, Brian.
That's good.
I played a lot of five-man BRs after the show last week. Your wife played.
Yeah, I actually got Laura to play some.
How was that experience? Because this was great. Okay.
So she's very good at certain types of games, but this one she hasn't ever really played, because when she originally got the game, there was an issue with the bugs in the game. So she didn't really play it again. So we got her in there, and I'm trying to explain to her. So I'm looking over my shoulder and be like, all right, you press E to pick something up. It was kind of tough to throw her in the middle of a BR when she has no clue where anything is, but I think she enjoyed playing with us.
Didn't you have
She just walked in. She's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Didn't you have some launch issues where something was happening and like stuff, something wasn't right. Cause I wasn't in your group. We had to split up for, we joined at Tuesday after the show and there was like 9 people in TeamSpeak. And I was like, oh, hello, our clan's back here after, 5 months of being dormant. What was your problems?
It wouldn't launch. Like I was getting issues to where it would not, well, every time it seemed like one person wasn't getting in.
Yeah.
So then we back out and we go back in and it's like that happened a couple times in a row. So there's definitely still bugs with that. And with me, of course, I run into the problem of I'm always spawning after everybody, which drives me crazy.
You need a new GPU.
It's got to be, it's got to be my video card. So
you have great internet and your process is all right.
Yeah. So I got a good computer. It's just the video card. And I think that makes a huge difference on the amount of time it takes for your BR to spawn in.
I'm still so surprised that they don't have a wait position for that, to just wait for at least like 95% of the people to queue up. Like, of course,
I've always wondered, what is the point of the BR start area if it's not loading up assets? Because usually what it's doing is loading up assets so that when you drop spawn into that point of the map, everything's loaded up and it should be fairly instantaneous. It'd be like porting to a new part of the map and just going from there. H1Z1DB brings up hard disk. I mean, I've got a RAID 10 1+0.
Get an SSD, bro.
I'm not getting 4 SSDs.
You don't need 4 SSDs. Get one and then do your RAID for your storage. Windows.
So that's the thing.
Oh, wait, never mind.
Supposed to run slightly faster than a normal SATA 3 hard drive.
I disregard because my game's on a hard drive. Never mind.
My Windows is
on boot.
I don't think that's the issue. I really think it is the video card.
Yeah, because now that I think about it, only Windows is on my SSD. I don't think it. Maybe it is. I'm not sure.
And you always spawn in before me.
I do, but I also.
Have to get just a game, like a game hard drive that's just for installing certain games.
But I have a WD Black. Everything else. But again, this computer was built in February, so it is. It's like a new partition, like everything, a fresh install come February.
Yeah, and I've done an upgrade on this from like Windows 8 to 10.
Yeah, as did I.
At some point, I may just need to do a fresh install and then put my games on another drive or something. So
yeah, you know, just run H1Z1 on a 8 GB SanDisk Cruiser. Just run it on a flash drive.
Just run it on my USB 2.
Yeah, run it off of a CD. That'll be really speedy for you. So that was. I'm excited for this next patch.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really said. Now, one thing, and they put a thing out there saying secret release notes, and this was from Adam.
Yes.
And so, I don't know what that means. I mean, it seems like sometimes they're mystery release notes. We get things that we have no clue what they're talking about.
Or they're just clueless.
Yeah.
But they have no clue.
This was the second. So this was, last week. I can't wait for this next patch. The hospital is looking so good. So that's got to be test server patch. Also ATVs and more secret release notes you will find out soon.
Secret.
I'm just wondering what those secret release notes. I mean, where's our secret email that's supposed to tell us what these things are?
So we don't talk about them on the show?
Yeah.
That's a good one, Brian. So now my question is, are they moving at this point? Everybody's back. TwitchCon is a week old, or 2 weeks old at this point. Are they moving now? I think they're still in their old studio. When are they moving?
They are still in their old studio. And one thing they did, they put out, and I don't know if you saw that kegerator. I actually have, I put a picture of it. So it's halfway through. So there's a tweet that they did that shows their original Sony Online Entertainment server. They turned into a kegerator for the new Daybreak office, which I can't imagine an office that has a kegerator in it. I mean,
well, you know,
it's a very loose work environment.
Well, I mean, you look at the game as it stands right now. Here is the kegerator. They've rigged up a bunch of like LEDs to blink and go beep boop pop. They literally put a keg in it and a tap. Yep. With the Daybreak, it's like one of those crappy things that they gave to all the streamers. It's got like the Daybreak logo etched in on it. So
For that, yeah, I mean that's handle, bigger, better handle.
Yeah, so there you go.
But this is the original Sony server, so I guess it's better than them recycling it or throwing away. You know, something
putting it up on.
I probably played on that server originally with my original account. So.
For what game? EverQuest?
This is EverQuest. It was my first game like the type. And I think I started in 1999 or so.
So old.
Yeah.
I was two years old and when you were playing EverQuest.
And then a year later, I bought my own house while you were three. Yeah, so,
hey, you know, you got priorities, Brian. Priorities.
Yeah, Kramit. Now, Kramit in chat, he's like, yeah, I played on that server. Kramit still plays EverQuest, the original EverQuest. That's dedication. I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, 1999.
Yeah, but isn't there a remake project for that?
16 years ago.
Like the, isn't
he
like,
plays the original.
Now, because is that the reboot project that's like EQ99 or whatever?
Yeah, that goes for the how it feels originally, not the one. Because I've gone on and logged into EverQuest on my Sony account, and my characters are still there. Hmm. I had no idea how to play any of them. I couldn't remember how to do anything.
Oh.
But it's like I couldn't even figure out how to move around. Like the characters, the way that you move is just so odd because they haven't really figured out the system yet by then. So I couldn't even figure out how to do anything. That's so it was kind of frustrating. I was like, I have no idea where I'm at and I have no idea what I'm doing because it's been so long.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have on here? What do you want to go to next, Brian? We got the...
All right. So they have this new crate system that they've been discussing.
Yes.
You know, this is something that we there was some code changes a while ago where they're talking about how you'll be able to turn in, I think, multiples of items and things like that, an item exchange.
Yes. So,
it'll be a new way to obtain rare items.
Yeah. So what this does is you take a bunch of lower value items and
trucker hats.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like 400 tan trucker hats going to equal like something useful. But take like a bunch of unrare items and put those together, and it's like you're essentially crafting a rare item. That's cool because now I'll actually maybe be able to use some of the stuff in my inventory.
Well, it gives you a reason to really push yourself or buy crates because you get these skins not only by buying crates but by winning BRs. Mm-hmm. So it gives people a reason because right now I could go and win BRs over and over again, and I'm just going to get multiples of the same shirts and hats that I already have.
Exactly. There's no incentive. If there was like a reason, like I need one more winner chicken dinner shirt to get X item, you're gonna go and play BR and you're gonna win BR time and time again. There's gonna be a real incentive for you to play and do well in that game. Which right now, like we found out, there really is no incentive to win. Once you're in a group of people that have already won PRs, it really doesn't matter in the slightest bit at all. Like, what's another win? Not like we're pros, but who cares?
Yeah. I mean, I don't need any more airdrops. Like, we don't even use airdrops. No. I think I got 15 at the moment now.
When is the last time we called it an airdrop? God, that was like 3 or 4 servers. It's been months.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we bothered. Now, one thing that I didn't see if they said something about this, but I know a lot of people were complaining that right now you could pretty much trade any item on the marketplace. So people that maybe bought the special edition of H1Z1 originally that got that, you know, flying hat, there are certain things that they were frustrated that, you know, what's the point? Why did I buy this better edition when I could just go into the store and for $1 buy the skin of the hat that I got, you know, because you really didn't get that much more out of buying the more expensive version of H1Z1 other than a couple of airdrops, which, as we said, were kind of pointless. And then you got that hat skin, which now you could go buy for fairly cheap, a lot cheaper than what the upgraded version of H1Z1 cost originally.
Exactly.
So it's like they really need to make it so that if there are special items, don't let people just go and instantly sell them. You know, make some items that are actually rare that aren't sellable on the market. I think that would be a big thing towards kind of making some things truly unique. I know a lot of people probably don't agree with that. They want it to where they can make money off of everything, but nothing is really going to have that much value after a certain period of time if everything could be traded on the market.
Yeah. That was a problem since day one with the market. Yeah. The second it launched, it was already broken. I'll throw that in quotes. But this is really cool. This is an incentive, and they need incentives to get people to play H1Z1 at this point. There needs to be incentives.
Yeah.
Which is good. Now,
and And now, so Killcam, he made a comment. They destroyed the value of the Warren key drop off zombies when they increased the Chan military backpack capacity to 2,000. So, I mean, when they make it to where all those backpacks are the same,
there's no point.
What was the point of those, of going and doing that little side quest of going and, you know, turning in those keys?
Exactly.
I mean, there's not really anything you're getting. You're going to get maybe a shotgun and some shells.
I haven't seen those backpack in a while either. When, I mean, maybe it's
I haven't seen them drop for a long time.
Yeah.
But we've been doing mostly BRs where they don't drop. But even in regular, I haven't seen anyone mention that they've gotten them.
True. Maybe that's just because people aren't playing survival as much as they used to. Now, there was also an Imgur link in here to some of the new items that will be.
And this was somewhat discussed on that second stream.
Yes.
That he did. He was talking about doing the renders of, you know, putting these different skins on these guns, and he showed some examples. And they have the ability to do a ton of skins. I mean, they could, kind of like what you see with CSGO. I mean, they have the ability to,
oh, they
to
can
throw
do anything.
Skins like that.
They
yeah.
can literally do anything.
And so right now they're just kind of putting them out there little by little, because you wouldn't want to flood the market at the moment.
Exactly. So here are a few images here. This first one is a real American gun here. This is an American skinned AR. We got these eye patches we saw a fairly decent time ago. Sebastian, I think, tweeted these out. And now,
but this is looking to be towards, you know, this crate.
Yes, this next crate. So we covered these while there's six eye patches in there. There's another AR down here that is camo with some type of red crosshair on it. It looks like a logo for something. I'm not sure what it is. Is that like a clan logo or
is that AOD?
I'm not really sure, but that looks like that's a logo. It's a face in that, or maybe it's just a skin. I'm not really sure about that. So that's like a camo AR. The bucket hats.
Yeah, we covered those.
Covered
ones
those
a while
as well, but those will be moving in. A shotgun
with
exact
the skin.
Same logo on it as well, and then the military Kevlar vests, which we talked about, and then of course Brian's favorite thing, the ghillie suit.
Yeah.
So these will
which
all
as
be,
long as that thing matches in. I mean, if they're doing all these different terrains, are they going to have different colors of this? But let's say they have the forest, they have, you know, I guess somewhat of a more desert area. They have, you know, whatever it is for these different landscapes. Is this going to match in with all of those, or are you going to have the ability to have like four different colors of this ghillie suit, depending on where you're at?
Exactly. So we still don't have details on these, but or when this crate is coming out, by the way. We don't know. I don't think this post said when this crate will be available. But we'll just have to wait and see once this crate drops. But
this will be the mercenary crate.
Yes,
so.
Which they're working on. So we need to... We just need to wait and see what's gonna happen with that.
So now they said that they're going to be doing a live stream on October 8th at 11 a.m. So that'd be Pacific. So this Thursday. So there could be a chance that they're going to announce this on Thursday, or maybe this is when they're doing the patch for the test server. Because usually they'll do a live stream right before they release some content. So that could be a good hint at some of those changes are going to be coming in. Probably Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, and that'll be exciting. So we'll I'm liking these live streams. These are working out really well, especially for people like Brian and myself that really want the nitty gritty of this stuff. It was really cool. It was nice to see the tools the developers are working with. It was nice to be able to see them literally compile the map, then launch the local server, and then join that local server from their admin client. That was really cool. I saw something interesting. We talked about workflow. All their network attached drives were like Project 1, Project 2. Like, I don't know what was going on there. I don't know what those drives were, but I don't know about that organization system.
Yeah.
The whole workflow was interesting on that. But it was really cool to see that real down detail of what these, you know, well, what these people, I'm not a game developer. I've never developed a game but to see what these people are actually doing. And, on that first stream, they literally made a lake. Like he just added it into the world. So you could actually see what the process of that is.
And we actually got a shout out on their post for that stream.
Really?
I don't know if you saw that. Yeah. He was making fun of my me liking everything to be so immersive.
The dev was?
Yeah.
I think I missed
that. He was
that.
Like, we're going to have like riding, you know, because he was like, yeah, we're not having horses yet. And I think you're not going to be able to ride bears yet. And
then I saw that saying, part.
Yeah. And then he said something. He said something about me.
He said Brian.
Yeah. And then he put in there that it was a,
I heard the horses and I heard the bears. I must have stepped
so,
no, away
that was in the
point.
Post. That, no, that was in the post that
oh,
he made.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but I think he was teasing us about that, about how I'm always looking for, like, why can't we ride horses and why don't we have all.
Because somebody asked that in the question of the actual stream, too. And he was like, there's no horses in the game right now.
He says, we're not going to have rideable bears, bro.
Yeah. And there you go.
Sorry.
That's pretty funny. So that was, what day was that? That was.
Like 2 days ago, wasn't it? Actually, look.
Both the streams were on the same day. One was in the morning and one was in the night. Or maybe it was the day before. I don't remember. I'm all screwed up.
It was on the second. So the this second. Was on Friday.
Okay, so Friday was that stream. And then then the other stream was maybe Saturday night or Friday night. I don't remember.
Yeah.
So that was so you're talking about that first stream that was actually
the
H1Z1 stream. That was on the H1Z1 channel. He was in the H1Z1 studio. Talking about that. Now, Brian, this is an interesting post I scooped up on Reddit a little before the show. Mm-hmm. And this is going to kind of prove, I don't like calling people stupid, and I'm not calling this person stupid, but this is an interesting post on how people perceive things, because we constantly see stuff on Reddit. And you sick and you look at it, you go, is that really how this is perceived? So this post was created 3 hours ago, and the headline is Daybreak shutting down private service ? So a link bait title for you. So we'll get into this. Apparently, this guy plays on one of the Daybreak private servers for a streamer or something like that. He didn't get into detail, but. He says that this is disastrous for our server and goes on and on and on. And then Legion CM responds on Reddit and says that this is being blown way out of proportion. And he says that they noticed a lot of, I'm going to say all of the whitelisted servers besides one or two, there's nobody on them. There's nobody on them at all. And Brian, we know a little bit about this. There really aren't any admin tools for the private servers as of right now. And they want to make the admin tools more robust so there can be real private servers for people and the people can moderate.
The admins actually, can moderate and run.
Exactly. And they'll have some power on that. So they're working on admin tools to making those more robust. And I'll read his quote here because it's just a paragraph. And this was he's saying that this was the exact statement sent out to the admins of those servers. It says, hey, just a heads up that we will be closing these private servers and reevaluating the program. I would imagine that would be cutting down the list of servers. All these streamers, half of them don't even play H1Z1 anymore. I would imagine that they're just going to reevaluate that. He said, when we bring the whitelisted servers back, we will make sure that they are fully functional with things like admin controls that provide you and your fans the best experience possible.
Well, and that's the thing. Right now, like, what's the point of some of these private servers? These people could easily just go to, if they're not moderated correctly, you could just go to a low pop server and you're going to have a very similar experience.
You will have the exact same experience.
I mean, you'll have your pick of the litter of where you want to put your base. Because of the lack of moderation tools and having it to where, the actual admins of the server have the ability to go ban people or just really manage that server. There is no point in having one. It's for name only at the moment.
So they're working on, they're going to rebuild that, which I'm kind of happy about because, there's no use. I mean, you look at the list, they're all empty. There needs to be, I don't know what the admin tools look like. I'm not a server admin, but from what I've been told and what I've heard, the admin tools consist of banning people or whitelisting them. That's pretty much all you have access to do.
And plus, when you have a community, like let's say this is Caesar server or it's like a server for Summit or something, someone in chat said, well, those guys don't play this all the time. Like, why are you making a server for a streamer that plays this a few times, maybe a few times a day, but still, this is just one of the games and he's not outside of that stream time, they're not on that server all the time.
Exactly.
You know, they're not sitting there holding up the community. So, you know, like Killcam, you said, you know, they need to have a very stable player base that these servers are based on, not just ones that come in and they'll play for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, and then that's they're out of that server and they're never going to play, you know, for the rest of the week.
Exactly. So that's good. I'm excited for that, because that means we may get more real private servers from people that are nothing against the streamers. I'm not trying to make them sound bad, but like Brian said, they play the game while they stream for 6 hours, and then they don't touch their server until the next time.
And
they'll only play
this game. I mean, you get a few that really dedicate time into H1Z1 specifically, mm-hmm. like Mr. Grimm's, but realistically, there's that most of those guys, this is one of 10 games they're going to play that night, you know, and they're just putting a little time to each.
Exactly. So it's not as important for them to have, you know, maybe they just need like streamer servers. And like you go in there and you're like, oh, hey, I'm streaming this, you know, I'm going to use this server to stream.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a better system, because does Summit really need a server? Like realistically? No. And even Grimms, he plays BR.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't
play
Survival.
Him, there would be no point in having a regular server, because he doesn't go play that type of game. Maybe later, if he finds interest in it or something that there's, because right now he's not going to get a lot of people interested in him playing Survival. Most of these streamers are not going to get interest of playing Survival until they make it to where there's more to do. They actually feel like they're accomplishing something in Survival.
Exactly. That's how I feel about it. So, and real quickly, somebody's saying there's no need for private servers. I think there are. For these streamers, they really can't play on private servers. I understand.
But realistically, they could have a private server for streamers, all the streamers, so that if they jump in, they're going into a server that's somewhat moderated, not a specific server for them.
Exactly. And of course, we have the Survivor's Rest server. That's Hanny's, H1Z1 DB's, and Phase Fire's. But other than that, that's the only...
And that's somewhat of a role playing, you know, it's a little bit different type of environment that they're going for in that. And so I think that's a good idea to pick servers and say, here's the type of feel and here's the type of player that we want to attract to this type of a server,
mm-hmm.
and maybe build up those communities, not for specific people, but for the type of maybe play style.
Exactly.
That they're looking for.
So I thought that was an interesting post on Reddit. So it turns out that this guy that made the post wasn't a server admin, but he was told from a server admin, his quotes, "the sky is falling." Maybe the news wasn't passed down correctly. That's always fun. So
now there's a post here where they were talking about base building.
Yes.
And there were some questions, people saying, "Hey, I got no clipped into," and there's been a lot of controversy. And so they made a fairly long post here.
Yeah.
That goes into the details of what determines a secure base versus an unsecure base, and actually have some images.
Yes,
that really determine. So,
which one do you want to show first?
So let's go and go to the not secure base first.
Okay, so we're showing that.
And
right
if you
now.
Look at this, there is a structure in the center of it that they're treating like a wall, but as far as base security goes, it's not truly a wall.
Exactly.
So if someone were to, I guess, either hop over the wall or no clip in, this would not use that extra base security that Daybreak has built in. It would not recognize that they actually were gotten to the base without normal means of blowing down a door or opening a door. And it doesn't have that perimeter security, as they call it. And so they wanted to take note that if you have a inner structure that is acting like the wall, that is not secure. Now, you can have an inner structure act as a wall. So like with this, you would just continue the wall around,
mm-hmm.
and you'll put it alongside of the structure. But let's say, for instance, that you have a structure that hangs off the edge.
Like
we've always
one.
Liked to. Yeah. So the second one, there's a structure that actually goes over the edge, you know, protrudes out from the side of the base. That they are considering secure. So as long as you have the walls go up to the part that extrudes out the side of the base, that makes that base secure.
Now, if you look at the first picture here, Brian, you can very clearly see that internal structure doesn't butt up against the fence. There is literally a gap there, like where you would put a fence post.
Yeah.
So you know, let's say that the area for the wall is like, you know, a single pixel, that inside structure does not go over that pixel. It just butts up against it. But with the overlapping base, it goes over that one pixel and beyond. So it's seeing that, okay.
And
this
so
is
if
a
someone
secure
were
thing.
Standing along the edge, let's say this is one that was on the ground, or someone could aim through there, on the insecure version, they'd be able to shoot through that crack.
Yeah.
On a secure version, there's not really a space that you can shoot between. You know, even if you're standing right there, this truly blocks off all the edges. So if you find that there's not a space that you can look through on your base, most likely your walls are going, you know, if you have walls going up to a structure, most likely that is going to be a secure version.
Yeah. And just think about it. I mean, just think about it logistically.
If you can put a wall there, you know, with how you've built it, and like there's a space for a wall, then put it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just trust that the inner structure that you place there is your wall, because that will not protect you against no clippers.
Well, that was nice to know, because I didn't really I don't normally do the base building, but for people that do the base building, I'm sure this was a good thing. And I know Killcam in our chat is pretty big base security guy. So maybe for somebody like him, this was very good and useful.
Now, he had a question, you know, what about when you have those deck foundations and you have a wall? I think that once they break the perimeter of any of those, like, that is getting into that section.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the gap. If you look back at this picture.
What's not clear is, like, if you put walls around a deck extension and then you have walls inside the deck extension to where that extension is its own little area,
that's secure.
If someone were to blow out that outer wall, would it consider the whole base unsecure?
I would imagine that if you complete the wall on the inside, I would imagine that that's its own separate base. But now if you have
that's
big
something
gap,
they haven't really discussed.
No, but just think. But this. Just think about that logistically. It's gonna it sees a completed square or rectangle as secure. So if you have an outer rectangle that is secure and a gate is blown up or a wall is blown up, that's now unsecure. But if you now have another internal square and/or rectangle, I would see that as secure.
Chat is saying the dev himself didn't know for sure. So that may be something that Daybreak's going to, because it could be either way. I mean, it could be either unintentional that it's gone one way or the other. So that would be interesting to hear from Daybreak of, okay, if you did break into the outer one, can they then no clip into the center one? If so, that seems like that is not, as you're saying, not the correct way to do it. Yeah. You know, that's more of a bug.
Yeah, it doesn't logistically make sense if that's how this system is supposed to work. I like that they included images in this post and really explained. It's a long post. If you're a base person and you haven't read that, it'll be on our show notes, infectionpodcast.com. Good read. Long read, but good read if you're interested in base security stuff, which I know a lot of people in our group are.
And I think as survival becomes more popular again, as they start putting in some more of this content, you know, people, I still think, you know, I said it last week, scrap the base building as it is right now. But, you know, if they're not going to do that and they keep adding to this, you know, you'll start getting some of those people coming back once they get into survival again.
Exactly. So Brian, the next thing here is from our friend Sebastian.
And he actually made a number of posts this week, which was nice because he was quiet for a little while.
Exactly. It seemed like it lit up come like Thursday, Friday. There was live streams and posts and live streams and posts. But this is this was a question he got about heads and skin colors on the female player model. And you can see here three different skin tones on three different player models.
And slightly different facial features as well. So they took that female model, because right now there's pretty much two variations of the female model, which is just a different face, same body style, but the face is just slightly different on one versus the other. I mean, there's not a drastic difference. So this one is going to be a visible difference, even from somewhat of a difference, a distance. This is going to be something that's very noticeable. And of course they don't have any hairstyles or anything yet. That'll be interesting to see where they go with that.
Yeah. So that was, this customization I know is big for a lot of people. Me not so much, but I know a lot of people appreciate having the availability to customize your character. I'm one of these players.
Killcam says to the diversity of pigmentation add to Brian's immersion. Yes,
it now, does. I know, Brian. Like in these games where it lets you create a character, I just press like, okay, continue like into the game. So, you know, honest
well, for
truth,
me, the second
matter.
Character to me looks like a blockhead. So it's like, I would never want to pick that guy anyways.
Yeah, well.
Because he just.
I just click on the first.
So there's not that variation of ones you'd want to pick.
Whatever the default is, I'll click on. I mean, that's just me. I don't spend time.
Like, well, and you know my wife. Like, her favorite part is making the character, which in this game is incredibly short. So that's probably what kind of turned her off a little bit initially.
She's like, oh, I can't create my BR character?
I pick a name and then I pick between two faces. Like, what is this?
Yeah, what is this crap? So that was good to see. Now we did have another video this week.
This is about 4 minutes. So I don't know if you want to talk a little about it. I mean, we do have our audio listeners.
Well, I'm not going to play the audio. I'll just have us both queue up at 0 seconds and play it. And then we'll just, I'm not going to show the whole 4 minutes. It's a lot of stuff, to show. So, starting the video. Now, here you can see just some stuff from the September art wrap-up, some players moving around in bags. We got some type of female zombie, some crossbow stuff going on here with debris, everything
else. So now with the crossbow, that's kind of something that they also did with the gun. Mm-hmm. Making it so that whole reload action, there's the movement of either the clip or pulling back the string for the crossbow, you know, loading another arrow into it. So that's the animation that they're working on that.
Yeah. Now we've got the bug animations, which we saw on some vines earlier in the month. Here's some player movement things, Brian, that I know are good. Now here's the cheetah or whatever that cat is going to be.
This is like a bobcat. Yeah. Or something, because that's the thing originally. We're like, what in the world is that thing? So this is a little bit better video of it, and it actually looks like a bobcat.
Yeah, I got some zombies, some more gun shooting, and you can actually see the debris when you shoot the muzzle flare, the casing maybe falling. So that's really cool. Some more 308 and player movement stuff here. It's just a lot of that. Nothing important stuff, but you know,
they're creating that smooth, like as you're doing gameplay, you know, reloading your gun and just making it to where it's not so clunky.
Yeah, well, like shooting out a window, like you actually get the mark in the window where like I don't know if you've seen this, Brian, but like, you know, somebody breaks a window but doesn't break it all the way, it's got like that like baseball looking thing in the middle of it where, you know, it shatters outwards. Like that actually happens now when you shoot a gun.
And then if you take an axe and you hit it against something, it actually shows the cut mark now.
Yeah. And same thing with the shotgun shells, the, you know, if it was like buckshot or whatever, that spread you would get with buckshot, you see that across a tree. Now, this next thing here, was decay, which we saw in the second live stream this week, which I think that this is, I'm not going to say revolutionary because it's not. But I think that this is a huge thing for H1Z1 here, Brian.
So this is going to be something that makes it so not everything, even if it is the same car or let's say whatever object it is, that creates something different. You know, it's creating that different feeling of as you're moving around. This one looks different than that one.
So what I imagine here, and he showed it on the AK or the, not the AK, the AR, and he showed it on something else. What I envision with this is certain players, their goal is going to be to have all pristine weapons and all pristine objects. So now Brian's AR and my AR are not going to be the same thing. Wear and tear is going to be a legitimate thing on guns now. First of all,
but they also showed it. They also showed it on that vehicle.
Yeah,
I mean, if you look at the rust, it was happening. Like different objects in the world, they're putting age to it,
which is interesting. Which would kind of insinuate server resets or seasons. Because think about it. Let's say that car takes 2 weeks to decay or 3 weeks to decay. Like, you know, at some point that's going to have to be reset because it's, you know, it decays once and then it never decays again. So something is going to have to happen with that. For that
now,
to make sense.
Here, this is total speculation, but what if like the server time, like this is 6 weeks. I know there's a specific time that's much longer than this that it's actually after, but let's say, 28 days later after the outbreak, this is the point in time, you know, at the server reset. And then as time goes on, things decay more and more over a longer period, not just over 24 hours. You know, this is a longer, like 1 week later, you're seeing decay. And like, what if they put it to where like a week is the opportunity to play through some sort of storyline or something that they create and it resets every week? I mean, that's pretty much what WoW does. Yeah. Everything resets on the week. Do you see that it's going to be either random, or do you think that there's actually some rhyme or reason to it of maybe something's going to happen to where you're seeing the degradation over time?
See, I think you're going to see it over time, but here's my fear, Brian. Let's say it's only a week. What's going to happen to all your bases if they have to do a server reset?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you get interesting.
Now, they'd have to save the state of the current state, even if they rebooted a server or something. I know now it's taking more time before a reboot or reset to save the state of everything in the world.
That's, so, I mean, that I don't trust concern. That at all. Brian, you have your own web server. You know what backups and stuff are. Sometimes moving stuff, which, you know, on paper looks great, in execution, the problems happen. And I don't think I want every week them just having my base in limbo. Like, oh, well, something happened with the export or the save state and we can't import it back into the game, so this server has been wiped and now Everybody's got to restart. They have to, maybe the decay is over 4 weeks or a month.
I mean, what if every month, like, the whole game resets? Let's say they get it, because you're going to have regular server resets.
Of course.
We've seen with, if they don't redo the base building system and go to something like what I've said with instanced, you know, maybe areas that you can get to or have it to where it seems like it's underground. I mean, it doesn't, the bases don't literally, I know they said with the current map, they can't put things underground.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But, you know, that was why I had the idea of an instanced base, so that when you go to the door and you hit E, it's taking you to, you could even have them on a separate server, you know, to where it's not putting load on the main server. That is an instanced base that you go into. I mean, if you don't do something like that, all the real estate over, let's say they didn't do a wipe for 2 months, just everything is going to be everywhere. And it's just going to be the same mess that we run into, especially on PvE servers.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a month and a half.
But why not make it to where it's guaranteed at, let's say, at the beginning of the month, like on the first of the month, it always resets.
I just feel like over time, you're never going to build a base again, because you're going to know, you know, your 12 hours of work.
But see, if you did instanced bases, let's say it saved the state of your base, but maybe you could place it in a different area or something.
Yeah, but I don't trust that system. That's the problem. I mean, and it's not even just Daybreak. It's just in general. The exporting and importing of anything over and over and over again is bound to have issues. No matter what program.
Pretty much what I'm explaining is exactly how they have it in WoW. I mean, you have your own fort, your own castle that is just for you.
Okay.
Only you go into, right? I mean, I think maybe if someone joined, it was in a group with you, they might be able to see it.
Okay.
But it is instanced to you.
Yeah.
And so you build up and make stuff happen in that little area.
But
when you leave it, it's the whole world. Like, nobody can come in and steal your stuff.
No, but that's a little bit different than the clan's base that has to reside on the live server for everybody to see. That's different. They're going to have to figure something out, because they showed it on that car for a reason. So they're going to implement something. So the base decay stuff is interesting. And the weapon,
I mean, they're going to have to, I mean, this is something I'm sure that they're really digging into, but I mean, my idea may not be the best, but they're going to have to do something different, I think, than what they're doing now. So it'll be interesting to see what ideas they come up with.
Now, like I said, I'm really interested in the new or the weapon decay system, because
yeah,
it's not, everything is not going to be the same now. like it's just, it's not going to be the same. You're going to be running around. You're going to say, oh, well, I don't want this, the 45. I want this one because it looks better. Or I don't want this, I don't want this AK. This AK's got wear on it. I'm going to go, I'm going to find a better one. Or I'm going to drop this one here to find a better AK. And in your base, you're going to get rid of the crappy guns, right? Gun with 85% wear is going to be trash. You're going to literally melt it down because nobody's going to want it. Yeah. I think this is really going to change how the game goes.
So, and this is also, if you think of like my whole immersion thing that I'm always talking about, you have your hermit that's out in the middle of nowhere that never goes and gets new gear. Over time, he's going to have faded clothes and he's going to have a rusted old gun, the kind of matching that guy's whole persona for the people that are really into the role playing thing. That is going to make that, person, as far as appearance, match what their play style is. For the people that are constantly running into Pleasant Valley and trying to find new guns, or they die all the time, they're going to always have, for the most part, newer, fresher gear, and you'll be able to tell that.
Not necessarily, because the way I believe it was explained in the stream was guns will be found like in certain percentages. So like guns will, like fresh guns, like laid out on like a trailer, will be found somewhere between, like, let's say 80% damage and 60% damage. So they'll be found worn, and maybe.
So this is going to purely change based on, not on age, but on wear.
It's going to be on spawn. It's going to be, there's going to be like a 20 or 30 point swing where it can be, and over time that will age. But just because you could spawn and find a 60% damaged gun, or you could find 100%, clean gun, and, whatever that age will be. But it's going to be very interesting to now see. People are not going to want the crappy looking guns. They're going to want the one with a nice vibrant skin color on it, the skin on it. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays.
Had an idea this past week that I wanted to throw off you and see what you think.
I think it's stupid.
Okay, well, then I won't even say it. What is your idea of having they talk about, the gun racks and all that.
Yeah.
Right now, if people save up a bunch of guns and they put them in containers, like someone comes and raids your bases and just steals all the guns.
Which, by the way, is a very big process, which we've seen, because you can only carry three guns.
Yeah. Well, usually they'll smell them down and destroy them. What if you had gun racks that you could have up on the wall that you could hold a max of like five of the same gun, but if someone were to come in and raid that base, they could steal a gun off that gun rack, but they couldn't steal all of the guns.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're talking about like a safe, like essentially,
but it's like a gun rack that if you were to go up as a player, you could save multiple guns, like up to maybe five on a gun rack. You could save them in that gun rack.
Yeah.
And so if you went and you had five guns, you could have five players grab guns. But let's say someone comes and raids that base, and they were to take from that gun rack, like they could destroy it or, whatever happens to the guns, but they can only take one out of the gun rack. So the people,
they can either take one or blow it up
or destroy it. Yeah. But they only get one gun out of that gun rack if they come and steal.
That's interesting. I mean, that's,
you can put a code on it or something.
I mean, a gun rack or a gun safe or something like that, where you can only store a maximum number of items, but is only accessible from one thing. That's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of a way, how can we get it so that they don't have, because right now people will save up 15 ARs, right? And people will come in and then it'll just melt down all 15 ARs, or they're still 15 ARs for no reason. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's kind of taking away that incentive to just go and just steal people's stuff just for the sake of stealing it. Like, if they don't want those people to have guns, but they're not going to get a full set of everybody's ARs or AKs out of that.
Exactly, unless they blow it up themselves. That's
that was just my idea.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of a way to make it so that people, when they're hoarding stuff, it's not like, here's our chest that has 20 ARs in it. Mm-hmm. Here's our chest that has 10 shotguns in it.
Which is what like happens.
Yeah, and so people come and they just destroy them all. This would make it so that, here's, we have this many shotguns, but people can't come and take 20 shotguns.
Exactly. That's Brian, that's a good idea. I like that. That's
very good. That went through my mind, and I was like, well, "This kind of sounds like a better way."
Yeah, it's a security measure. It's like you would have doors. It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah. So but this would be specifically for guns, it would limit the number of guns that can be stolen from you.
Very cool. Very cool.
So anyways, like that wasn't anywhere in the show notes, but that was an idea.
There you go. Now, this right. next thing was another Sebastian tweet.
Yeah, and this I like.
This is cool. They are trying to, and we've heard this from the developers before, they are trying to push city play. They're trying to get people to be shooting in cities, taking cover behind dumpsters, shooting in and out of, blowing out glass windows so they could shoot people. And the next part of this is right now you walk through the alleys of the cities and you walk on the streets. It doesn't look like an apocalypse. There's nothing there. There's like a tipped over lamp.
Well, there's random papers. It was like somebody's office was
blown
open.
Yeah, somebody like drove down the road with a file cabinet.
All those file cabinets where they're all empty. People were driving down the road throwing papers in the air.
Which exactly it looks like what happened. But Smashin, he's working on adding some more common items like bones and all of these dead bodies as debris in these cities. So this is his. Or what they're pretty much working on right now is you can see by this dumpster just like skulls, bones, rib cages, everything just kind of laying out here on the street. There's still like the papers and the trash back there, but this looks much more like a zone that you would PvP in. This looks like a zone that you could, lay down in and be completely prone. And people would be like, from distance, is that a person or is that just, crap laying on the ground? That's going to be interesting.
And this for me, I mean, this is totally part of the immersion, of story happened here. And when they originally showed near the medical facility, they had, that place where they were burying bodies, and they have all the body bags there and them throwing them off the truck. And I remember we had talked about, this kind of put some an idea of something was happening here that was interrupted halfway, and we talked about this is where we fill in the blanks with our mind. Here, like with these bones being here, you kind of in your mind you say something happened here. Right now, nothing happened anywhere. there's things, buildings and things, but there's not really a, there was a lot of people here and a lot of people died here. it's just. They're wandering zombies here. That's pretty much what you get out of it.
Yeah.
So I think that they can really build more of the story of, all right, like especially the medical facility with all the body bags, having bones, I'm not sure what they're going to do in the basement, but it'd be kind of cool if they had some backstory of, they had all these zombies and they started storing people in the basement just because they didn't know what to do with them all. And like you could create some pretty crazy stuff.
There you go, Brian. This is perfect for you. This is a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
So that was from Sebastian. A lot of good stuff from him this week. This next one, we broke the news last week on the show with our breaking news sound effect. We had H1Z1, the official H1Z1 account. I think it was Greg on it in chat. And we asked about Halloween because this is going to sound like really childish, but this is a perfect game to make stuff Halloween-y. Like, they could just replace the candle model with, a jack-o'-lantern model. Why not?
So, when are they going to make it so that you can wear a jack-o'-lantern helmet?
Now,
it's coming soon, I'm sure.
Now, I think you can already do that in Planet Side. They say in Planet Side 2, pumpkin spawns will be available until November 10th. So make sure you start harvesting those seeds so you can get your hands on special Halloween helmets. It's the heading is Planet Side 2, so I don't think that's going to be an H1Z1, but I'm not 100% sure. But Brian, we have another contest. So this is Daybreak is running another contest. This is a cool contest. Everybody should get on this. I will actually take part in this contest. They're giving away 10 $25 Daybreak cash cards for.
So that's pretty much 2,500 Daybreak cash.
Exactly, which will just buy you stuff in the game, keys, crates, whatever you want to buy in game. So the contest started, I think, last week when they announced this, but it will run from now until November 2nd at 12 p.m. Pacific. So pretty much take a Halloween-themed screenshot or create a Halloween-themed video of your character in any Daybreak game. So this is across all of the Daybreak games this year. And submit your entry. They're using that voting system. And make sure you're following at Daybreak Games on Twitter. And they're going to randomly select 10 winners.
Yep, and you use the hashtag Daybreak Halloween promo.
Yes, and or you can upload it to their website. Like Votago or whatever they use for that. Now, stay tuned for complete details about what we mean in terms of scary stuff wandering around in H1Z1. They talk about all the other games. So right now, no news on exactly what H1Z1 will have planet side. You're going to be able to get that the new helmets and camos and weapons.
I would expect to see something in the next 2 weeks, though. I mean, they can't get too close to Halloween, and there needs to be a little bit of prep time.
It's just interesting. Well, because here's the thing. You can't really take a Halloween-themed screenshot in H1Z1 right now. There's no Halloween
theme. I mean, there's zombies, but that's it.
But that's the only Halloween. I mean, any screenshot then is a Halloween-ish screenshot.
Yeah.
So
now, one thing that H1Z1DB brought up in chat about the he was asking about glowing eyes rabbits, but and then Renz clarifies it's the flare rabbits that they had at the end of that video.
At the end of the video, yes,
an internal testing thing that they did where they stuck a flare inside of a rabbit.
You need to throw comma or the quotation marks around testing. I don't know what they were testing there. That sounds more like playing around. yeah, you should be able to dress up. But it's interesting that some of the other Daybreak games already have the features implemented.
Yeah.
Except for H1Z1, of course. So,
but what they really should put out a carved out jack-o'-lantern. They could come up with a number of different things instantly to make it to where it seemed. What if like testing versus they've been testing for this ghillie suit?
Yeah.
They could come up with a ghost outfit that's kind of a similar shape. Right, of that, to where it's just like a ghost, you know, like a kid would wear a sheet. That is a very similar skin to the ghillie suit. You know, why not put out something silly like that so people could run around? I mean, it should have some of the similar contouring and animations for it.
Now, I don't even want to go that far because that's just that's a lot of resources for a very small period of time. But why just not replace?
But eventually they're going to need to start putting in resources for, you know, to give people short-term things to either
but
buy,
at this point,
work for.
Just replace the candle
with a jack-o'-lantern.
Object with a jack-o'-lantern. Something like that is just that's easy enough. And then people will go around the servers and place jack-o'-lanterns in front of every single residential house. That's going to be it. And that's that's all they really have to do. I'm not expecting them to. I mean, all these other games are in production, not in production. These games are being. These games are not in alpha. These games are in stable builds. So they've got extra time to be doing stuff like that. In this game, I really don't. At this point, I don't want the extra time being put into minuscule things like that.
Now, Gadlaw says you could take that same ghost suit and then turn it into a Christmas tree around Christmas. Just keep reusing it.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well. I mean, you do the work once, reuse it again. The jack-o'-lantern's all over Pleasant Valley. There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah, imagine the lag from the lighting.
What? Remember, it used to be the candles. Yeah,
used to be torches and candles would just lag you out.
Yes.
So as long as they got that fixed.
Yeah, it's ghillie suits with Christmas lights, perfect.
That would be So by then they'll have the ghillie suit out. I mean, it'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
Just add some decorations to it. You're set.
Yeah, there you go. So that's the Halloween event. We broke it first for you last week, and now we have the same info as everybody else. So.
So now Sebastian, he made another one here.
Another
where he was talking about the new shader.
Yes.
So they have this new shader that they've been working
Brian,
with.
Brian, real quickly, for like 101, what is a shader for people that aren't familiar?
So it is how the engine pretty much determines the lighting, the way the skin is on there, how it looks. So they're using the shader when they put the gun skins on to give it that realistic look and different things. I mean, that's not a really technical
no, but just, you know, because we may have like, you know, early listener or just people that don't understand what that shader is. So Hanny actually asked about the shaders on Twitter, and this was the response with the dumpsters. Mm-hmm. While people are going to say, oh, that thing, who cares? That's
for me, that makes a big difference.
Yes, it makes a huge difference.
That variation, because that's one thing that has not been enough in this game, is variation. They can make a lot of variation with the same things. Having it to where these dumpsters look different from street to street,
mm-hmm.
that makes it so as you're moving around, it takes away that, oh, that's everything looks the same feeling. And I think that this is a good step, you know, using that new shader to give it the more realistic look, give it more detail. The way the shadows work, you know, with some of the tops being partially open, you know, they're actually able to do that more, it seems like, and have it look better. And this is just going to make a big difference overall in the feel of the game.
Yeah. Now, street to street, city to city, this is going to be different. And it's more than just the color if you look closely at it. I know on the video it's not going to look great, but the stuff that's kind of worn out on the front is in different locations on the different dumpsters.
Yeah, they have different stickers. You know, I'm sure they could put a little graffiti. They could do all kinds of things to give it a different feel.
Yep, some have the lids open, some have no lids at all, some have the lids cracked. This is all part of making the cities more, I don't even want, not, they're not interesting, but more of a thing. This is part of that. Every dumpster looks the same. I couldn't even tell you if there were different dumpsters in this game right now, because they all look exactly
the same. Seems like
there's,
yeah, they're all the same color. I don't remember seeing more than one type.
Exactly.
And this is something I brought up a long time ago, talking about GTA. I mean, you look at GTA, and that was the thing that initially just impressed me with that game, is how street to street, you'd struggle to find something that was the same. You know, there's just the amount of detail and change they put from block to block on that game was amazing. And, you know, I'm sure it took a lot of people a lot of time.
Yeah.
But, you know, here, if they can just come up with some more variation to make, you know, and over time this will get better and better. But this is a good start. Taking some of those objects that they've repeated a lot through the world, whether it's dumpsters or, you know, you name it, whatever object is out there a lot, putting these different skins on them will make you feel like they're not the same object repeated.
Exactly. So that's, I bet you there's a lot of people, that are like kind of somewhat new to the game watching this. Like, God, look at these losers talking about dumpsters.
But when you've been playing a long time,
it's such a big deal. It's such a big deal.
I mean, are you coming around to my whole immersion thing more and more?
No,
as you play?
It's not even the immersion. It's just more of everything is the same. It's literally control C, control V, the entire map.
Yeah. And I think that that's a lot of what this new map is trying to get away from too, is having so much repetition, even in landscape.
Yeah. I mean,
with different trees. I mean, I know Nisco 3000, his constant thing he was always asking for is different trees.
Yeah. That was his big thing. Like, hey, you know, like there should be different kinds of trees here. Different areas have different trees. For me, it's not even the immersion. It's just like, this house is in Pleasant Valley and Lone Pine and over here too. And over here as well, because it's literally like the same, you know, four or five houses everywhere. So this is really useful. People think we're insane. They have to. If they're new to this and they're kind of new to the game and everything is still, the newness is still on everything, we're crazy. But
they're like, oh, I think it looks good. But once you really get to know to where you know the map really well and you know the cities really well, like you're looking for something different. Like there's no special thing to find. Like you already know what everything is. It's not like you're going to go into a room and find a little nugget of story or something that's special, right? Yeah. That room is the same as the other room. I think once they get to the point to where, and this is where, you know, my immersion thing is really big. When I go into an apartment complex, I go up to an apartment and I can play out the story in my head of here's a group, a small family of people that tried to survive. And you can see the leftovers of them trying to survive. And maybe zombies broke in the door and they were killed. You know, you can't build any story like you see a knockdown door, but that, and maybe some furniture that's kind of moved around a little bit differently in an apartment, but that's it. Like, all the apartments are the same.
Yep.
Other than those few things. So there's no story being told, and that's my big thing.
All about the story. So now, Brian, we have another video from Sebastian. It's just it didn't end this week. It was video after video after video. This one is showing off the ATV again, which I know everybody is so excited about, myself included. I'm not trying to be sarcastic there. This is showing brake lights and particle effects on it. You know, when it's driving around, you can see the dirt kicking up behind it. But now you can see the little tail light on the back. But turning
those things are important.
Oh, like, very important. Yeah,
that's something that if you don't notice it, that usually means they're doing it right.
Exactly. You know, that's just something's gonna. You know, you're gonna see that maybe blink in the corner of your eye. Yeah. You're gonna say, look at that. So that's a red blinking light.
So here, think about it. Once they get to more nighttime, because I haven't noticed as much nighttime lately. I mean, it's foggy, but once you get to the point towards night to where you are, you know, you're killing your headlights on the vehicle.
Well, what about
to drive secretly? This is going to be something that if you slow down, like there's no way to kill that tail light. If you did the brake.
Yeah. I mean, look at DayZ's nights. I mean, you'd have to, in the mod, you would go off and find a daytime server.
Yeah.
Because the nights were unplayable. It was so dark. And I don't want it to get to that.
It's not going to get to that point, but this will be something to where if you are trying to like sneak away or something.
Yeah.
And you hit your brakes.
People are going to see it and shoot it.
People are going to see it and they'll shoot the light that's in the back. Exactly. I mean, that's kind of a fun thing.
So we definitely need I feel like I'm playing with fire here. We need more night. But they need to tweak out that fun. Like,
they need cycles to where it becomes night, not a ton amount of time. Night needs to be a shorter amount of time,
but night
unless
needs to
they
be...
create unless they create some sort of an extra game mode or something that happens at night that you're looking forward to the night.
But night needs to be night. Like it shouldn't be like overcast. It like night shouldn't look overcast and rainy. Night should be night. I mean, go walk around outside overcast night. It's dark.
One thing they could do if they are struggling with how this should be is just stick a quick camera out somewhere near their office and just record the day cycle and say, well, what is it like? You know, I mean, you could take any of those little street cams and just say, okay, well, it's dark. Okay. It's foggy this amount of time. You know, you just make it that it doesn't seem like it should be that difficult to figure out, well, how much day should we have? How much night? If you make something that's really good for night, like there's certain game mode or more zombies or something, you can make it to where there's more night, but realistically people don't want more than 25% night.
Yeah, exactly. Cause at that point, then you find yourself not playing at night. Like nighttime comes and it's all right, I'm going to go grab a drink or I'm going to go grab something to eat or I'm going to go run to the store and everybody's going to log off at night. Needs to be short, but it needs to be night. Night needs to be night. Night should not be cloudy, rainy day. Night should be night. I stand by that. If it's not going to be dark enough where it's a different playstyle, then why even have it? Why not make a day 24 hours? I mean, realistically, if there was no difference in the playstyle at night and how you play and how the game looks and how the game feels at night, might as well just be day. That's how I see it.
As long as you can't mess with the gamma, that's one thing they did in Ark is originally you can mess with the gamma. Mm-hmm. And so even at nighttime, people could make it to where they could see. And then they took away that adjustment altogether,
which is a great idea.
Yeah, I mean they should have it to where it is tough with monitors. We want to have some sort of adjustment. You don't want it to where people turn up the gamma and at night they can see everything. So that is one good thing about Arc they did is
of course there's always
everyone's on the same playing field.
There's going to be workarounds. I mean, you can boost the gamma on your. I mean, you can boost the gamma on your make. There's programs that let you control like just your computer output. Yeah. So you could boost the gamma. Like I have one that makes my computer go more orange at night. It's a, it's called F Flux or something like that. And it's a nighttime adjuster. So the screen gets more orange.
Yeah.
But do not allow people to change that in game. That's just very stupid.
Especially if nighttime does become more of a game element,
which it should.
Yeah, and then they're going to need to make it to where everybody is seeing the same thing.
Exactly. So that's that's the ATV.
Yeah, and then particle effects, which is just like the dirt it's kicking up and things like that as it drives.
Yep.
And I put on here, this will be a surprise, coming soon. Oh, yeah.
It's so just another Adam, picture.
But he put on a note here that they've been going around and placing the spawn points for these ATVs.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying could be ready to play by next game update. One might think, so he shows an example in Bumjack Farms of having one of the ATVs placed. And so this probably Thursday for the test servers, at least. I mean, that's, when they're doing a pre-patch stream. I can't imagine.
Them not doing it then. Exactly. So there we go. That's our ATV update. I know everybody's so excited about that. That's a nice little. I don't even know if it's a feature.
It's next one. It's really loud.
I'm not playing it. I'm not playing it. Legendary Leah recorded the zombie scream voice.
You don't want to blow everybody's eardrums out.
This normally H1Z1 does a pretty good job with their videos. This one was just them just stupid.
Well, this is. I don't. Did they make this video?
Yeah,
look, or is this?
How could she have made it? She was recording the audio.
But it doesn't say anything about.
No, but look at the pan shots of the mixer and everything. Whoever produced this video, all it did was clip at the end. Audio clipping is, once you get above.
I mean, it was so loud.
Yeah, once you get above like 10 dB, you just clip and it's that noise. That's all this video is. So she recorded the female zombie noise.
Especially that last scream.
Yeah, the last scream totally clips the microphone. So that was Legendary Leah, the Twitch streamer, and she took part in the H1Z1 Invitational. Recorded the
screaming audio, the screamer, and then the female audio, which we haven't heard anything about the screamer in a little bit. So I'm wondering how long until they're going to how many patches out that is.
This one I know is people are going to have some mixed opinions on this next one. So John Smedley was
said his last name correct. That's good.
He was the what? He was the CEO of Daybreak.
Yes.
He was the former CEO of Daybreak. Put on Facebook after he was after he'd left the company, maybe a month and a half ago, of him starting his own game company, and we were like, maybe this is him just kind of like giving like his Twitter picture, giving you the middle finger to Daybreak, and it turns out it's not. He put some pictures on Twitter today, or maybe yesterday, of his new game studio, I guess, that he's working on. It's rent is really expensive in California. So
yeah.
I think this is legit. I would assume it is, because I don't think you just half-assly spend God knows how much on rent in San Diego, I would assume, to get a... to get start a game company and not actually do anything like legit with it. So this is the first office space picture right here. Looks like kind of the intro area. There's two desks and a whiteboard and some couches. And the next one is a different room. With some more desks and like a big TV and some couches for some company meetings. Brian, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, is he going? His Twitter bio is interesting. His Twitter profile says make game, then do it some more till you've made the one you have to make, then do it again. Am I reading into that too much? I still think he is going to make some type of H1Z1 competitor.
Yeah, some sort of a zombie.
Yeah, what do you think? Because this is his idea.
For him, I don't think that he was thinking so much BR. Like, Battle Royale, I don't think was his concept of this game. And that's what this game has become a lot of, right? For him, it was the survival. But he's always been a really big PvP first-person shooter is how he pushed it, which I didn't necessarily agree with.
Which I did, by the way.
Yeah, so you were more into – you liked that idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that maybe he would go for something more first person shooter, but if he's really that good of an idea man, he should be able to come up with something new. I mean, if you take a look at Apple, and Steve Jobs, like if Apple, like when there was that time when he was let go, if he came back and said, all right, now I'm going to finish doing my project, you know, and he never came up with anything different, like he would push old projects, but he had new ideas that he would constantly be doing. With him, you know, if he's really that good of an idea man, he should have another idea maybe that pushes the limits like H1Z1 did originally. But, you know, he should be able to come up with something new and different.
Yeah, so I thought this was, I don't know, I thought this was interesting to see him. I mean, he's going to be starting up a game studio. It's pretty obvious. Honestly, I kind of thought he may have been full of it. Just because he's like that, you know, I don't know him personally, but that kind of seems like something he might do, is just like make that like his Facebook thing, like, oh, hey, look at me, I'm starting up a game company, when he might not necessarily.
But the thing is, he needs, once he comes out with something, like as you put day one, mm-hmm. you can sit there and we come up with concepts all day. It's when you put out a test, you know, the alpha for it. So it'll be interesting to see if he actually comes out with something that's releasable.
Yeah.
Because even some great developers. A pig almost came in there.
Oh, my God.
All right, hold on.
All right.
A mini pig. You know, even if – I don't know. I think that he's going to have to come out with something, because even great developers – all right, there she goes. Even great developers – can come out with lousy games. I mean,
yeah.
There's some ones that came out with like Day of the Tentacle. You know, I mean, that wasn't so much a game for you, but people my age will appreciate that game. Mm-hmm. You know, they came out with this new one that's just like, it's like a little kid's game, and it's not cut. You know, they went on Kickstarter and pushed, like, hey, we're going to come out with something new and cool. Well, it wasn't that new and cool. Like, they don't always come out with new great games.
Yeah. So, we'll see. With his personality and the way he is, I would not be surprised in the slightest if he tries to do an H1Z1 similar.
I think it would be a mistake. I'm not sure.
I don't think it would take
the zombie. So with certain shows and things like that, like the zombie thing will be in for a certain period of time.
Walking Dead.
Yeah, I mean, with The Walking Dead and everything.
Never watched it, by the way.
I can't believe you.
Never seen
but
a single
they're
episode.
Running the risk, like he's running the risk of coming in too late.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be something new and cool next that he needs to be looking towards of what's the next thing that people are really going to be into.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm excited, though. Because here's the thing. And let's say he does do the H1Z1. I don't want to say ripoff, because it's not a ripoff. By the way, H1Z1 was his idea, for people that don't know. This was his, you know, this was his baby. So for him, if he does this and puts and almost lights a flame under Daybreak, this could be very good for us and people that play H1Z1, as well as people that would potentially play his new game. But that's all speculation. So
yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see. Now, we have our current players. Numbers are in. And I was really hoping that the Invitational would just be like, wow, there's all these people playing the games now, and this is going to be great. And I know everybody calls me a negative. Honestly, it's just not. It's just really not.
Negative Nick. It's not even negative, yeah. Nancy.
Currently playing 12,031 players. Our 24-hour peak is 16,072, and our 7-day is 20,348. The 7-day peak is good, but other than that,
was once again the Saturday Sunday.
Yep, that was Sunday that hit the 20. That 12 is not impressive, and it's not.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed with a game with over a million sales is peaking at 12,000 players.
Well, they're at the point of, we are over 1.75 million.
Oh, so it's almost, it's.
We're coming up on 2 million sales of the game.
And they can't get more than, a, you know, 24-hour peak being a little over 20,000, 20,348. Yeah. That's, I really thought the Invitational was going to bring people back. And I think it's obvious that it didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to sit here and try to say more.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people saying that, oh, you know, they're waiting for this wipe and everything. I mean, I don't know. That
I
maybe,
don't buy it.
But I think that this big patch that they're going to come out with will be something that possibly will bring back a lot of players when maybe, you know, the people that were doing VRs were already playing.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're not really going to bring those people back. Like, that's what the major base is right now. They're going to have to do something for survival to bring back those numbers, because those are the people that aren't playing right now.
Exactly. And they need to figure out how they can get those people back. So
and maybe some of these couple big patches with, you know, the new medical facility and some major, you know, there's some pretty big things coming out.
Yeah.
In the next couple of patches, that may be something that will start to drive these numbers up.
Yeah. But just honestly, not impressed, at least at this point, with the numbers. Am I being negative, Brian? I mean, is that really that negative?
No. I mean, if you look at, as you said, the 12,000 right now, I'm more looking at the, let's say we go to the month view.
Okay.
Still, like, if you go to the month view, it's pretty consistent. Like,
yeah,
it hasn't gone up that much. Like, whatever has happened over the month, it hasn't. I mean, you go to the 3 month, it is up slightly from back in July.
But it hit its peak and now it's on its way. I mean, we see that this is, by the way, if you've never looked at a chart like this, this is every product, every service, every website for the most part. Peaks and valleys. This is just how stuff works.
Now, and that is one thing with alpha and game development. You know, this is a long process. And yeah. I think a lot of people didn't realize how long of a process game development is when you get on the very early stages of it.
Now,
a lot of people get games when they're released in final, like they're getting the final product released, or they're getting a game in beta, which is something that's, you know, a 50% done game, 75% done game. This game was given to us very soon after concept. And so there's a lot of work between here and there.
Exactly. So we have to just keep that in mind. When I don't, they, you know what, they honestly could have waited 6 more months before they released this game.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because we're nowhere near beta. And once we're in beta, then we're nowhere near. I mean, this game might not even be out before 2020, realistically.
Oh, it'll be out for then. You'll have kids by then. I mean, my goodness.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but that's a scary sight.
Hey.
Hey, Brian, you do a segment every week. What's it called? What do you do?
All right, so tips of the week is where we go through just something either very simple for a beginner tip, something that you know, your new players. I mean, we got 1.75 million people that have bought this game. You're going to have some new people that maybe not even played another first-person shooter or survival game. And so usually go through a tip that will be something that'll help them out. And then an advanced tip is something that even if someone's been playing a first person shooter before, has played survival games, it'll be something that's maybe unique to this game, so a technique, a trick that they can use to be able to do better. So this is tips of the week. All right, so for our beginner tip, there's different ways to see your inventory. And this is something that can be a good thing to start early because you'll get used to how your inventory lays out. I find that in BRs, I found myself looking for those bandages and med kits, and they're just not accessible, or everything is spread out between slots. But if there's a little drop down arrow just to the left of where it says inventory item containers, and you are able to choose between a couple of different views for your inventory. So on there, personally, I like to have the bigger icons. This makes it so for me, it's easier to find those bandages quickly, right click on them and apply them in an emergency situation. But there's one way that's more compact. There's some that are bigger icons. But one good thing would be to try the different ways and then get yourself set into doing that, especially if you're doing BRs, so that if you quickly, being that there's no quick slot for bandages, if you quickly need to bandage or maybe quickly need to equip a some sort of a grenade or something, that this is in a place and in an order that you're ready to go. So play with the different sizes. See if you like to have the big icons or the small icons or the list view, and try those out. Get used to it, but make sure you go and change, because most people don't realize that that is there because it's just a little drop down arrow.
Now, would you say that that helps you find bandages more quickly?
More quickly, yes.
Okay, much more quickly. Good.
Yes, because for me, I
now,
would
this
have
is a real problem. Like
I would have bandages spread out between like three bags. No, and so I'd have to scroll down to find.
There's
the right
nothing
things.
Worse than when you're severe bleeding and you get hit to like 7-ish%, and by this point you're not
and you're searching for those bandages.
And you're not panicking,
you're
but you're not
out.
You're not reading. You're just scrolling the bar up and down. You're not even looking for them. You're just scrolling the bar and freaking out, watching your health. Like realistically, yeah. You're not looking. Like if you slow down and were like, okay, let's just figure out where the bandages are, you would know where they are. But because you're like freaking out because you're dying, you're just scrolling up and down and just can't find them. I don't have any bandages. Then you die.
Yep. So that's why I looked into that and I've gotten a system down.
Yeah.
For doing that. So
this is
and
useful.
Then for our advanced tip, this is something that I guess you wouldn't use as a beginner, but you can use glass to your advantage. So let's say we use a 308 a lot in survival. Mm-hmm. And the problem we run into is someone will do a shot through a window and then be like, well, why didn't the person take damage? You need to realize that your first shot is breaking the glass. So you need to make sure that if you are doing a shot with a gun through glass, that you are thinking about shooting twice. So a lot of times the person inside that is shooting back at you will have the advantage. If you're doing a 308 shot, you have to reload and they'll have the opportunity to shoot at you. So one thing is if you're inside next to glass, you can punch the glass to break it first, maybe hit it with a knife or something, and then you're able to shoot through it. Or if you have an AR or something, shoot an extra time. Shoot first, and then the rest of the shots will be what hits the person behind that glass. So try to use the glass to your advantage. I've had it to where I've had people that I've killed in a one-on-one just because I realize that the glass is there and I'm shooting anticipating that. They'll do the first shot. I wait for them to take the first shot, break the glass, and then I instantly have a shot after that. That's a great way to one up somebody inside of that type of a situation.
It's a little scary though. You're just sitting there and you're like, I could be shot. Like, God, the game glitches a little bit and it sees the glass is already broken. I'm dead.
It worked out for me once really well. And I was like, of course I can do that every time if I want to do it. It's pretty difficult to do, but if you realize it's there, you may get yourself the one up.
Exactly. Brian, any, we're right back to 2 hours. We're past 2 hours. So we're right back to
our normal problems.
Yeah. Brian, anything else?
No, I think we covered everything this week. I mean, there was a lot of, because you gave them a hard time about doing so much focus towards BRs. And I was kind of down on them too, I think a little bit. But they've really have come back full force on the survival, which is what a lot of us were asking for.
Exactly. So, we're going to do a special, we're going to do an extra hour bonus show for you. Again, we want to thank Man Pawns. His links will be in the show notes on infectionpodcast.com for coming on the show. And getting some inside knowledge on how the Invitational ran. So thank him. Check out his Twitch channel.
Yeah, subscribe to him on Twitch or follow him. I guess that's the proper term.
Yeah, do all that stuff. You can actually subscribe to him, too, now that he's a partner. Brian, where can people find you on the net?
Yeah, if you want to go check out my my blog, you're more than welcome to go to biteeffect.com. That's with an I. Well, it's more of a contact form.
blog.
Yeah, if you see on there, there's a lot of different links to my social things. Or if you want to go to google.com/+BrianAldridge. And if you are a regular listener, make sure you go and join our Steam group. That is something that we are announcing all of the shows on beforehand now. At least we've done at least 3-4 weeks now. And it's a good way to find other people that play this game. And maybe if you want to join us for some BRs. Since we've been doing that on a weekly basis, join that group. And we have right about 300 members at the moment. So we'd love to to add you to that list.
Yes, sir. Don't forget to check out our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Brian, I have my new Twitter handle. I finally graduated. Now I'm starting to, like, it's starting to be a common thing where, like professional, not professional people, but, like, regular people will be like, hey, what's your Twitter? And I'm like, Gamecast Live? Like, I'm like a total dope. So I've updated my Twitter. It's now at Nicholas M. Craig. Every possible rendition of my name was taken.
Yeah.
Like, I tried underscores. I wasn't going to do any numbers. I was going to do like
Nicholas Manly Craig, M for Manly.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to help remember
it. I was going to do like Nick NY 34 or something stupid like that. I wanted a real professional, as professional as a Twitter name can get.
See, for me, like my Twitter is pretty much for me following other people for news. And so I don't really use it for anything other than that. Like, I'm mostly logged into the infection one anyways.
Yeah, as am I. But it's, you know, it's nice to, you know, feel like have like a real Twitter handle for it. Like,
yeah.
You know, people are like, hey, let me follow you on Twitter. And it's like, you know.
It's not for some old project you've done.
Yeah, not, you know, I didn't register this name in 2010. So that's a good sign. Guys, like Brian said, don't forget to check out our Steam group. You can join us there. We do the show live still every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, and you can check that out. It's twitch.tv/infectionpodcast, and we're also live simulcasted on YouTube Live as well. And pretty much wherever you can get a podcast, we are available. We're on the Stitcher app, and if you listen to other podcasts on a certain podcast app and we are not available, please do let us know, and we will do our best to get listed on there. Guys, my name is Nick Craig. Infectionpodcast.com is the website, and we'll see you guys next week for Infection. Have a good week, everybody.